And last week we studied from Jacob and his family and how they went to Egypt and how God delivered them from the Egypt with the silver, gold and perfect help. So we're going to read a little bit and start from there. Go to the Psalm 105. If somebody has a time, read the whole Psalm when you go home. Psalm 105, starting from verse 26 to 37.
He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain, and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also, and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes.
Now, this Psalms gives all the history about the children of Israel, how God delivered them from Egypt. So we don't have to read so many verses. But here we see when God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel, and we learned last week, 10 plagues came, and the 10th plague was killing all Pharaoh's firstborn. And that's why they said, leave our country, go. And God told Moses, whisper in their ears and ask them to silver, gold and precious things and clothes. And they did and they got it. God told Moses, put the blood sign on the doorpost and death angel will come and I will pass over looking at the sign at the door and nobody will get killed. And exactly happened. And they did it by faith. That was a symbolic of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, when he was preaching and he saw Jesus Christ coming, that is in John chapter 1, 29, what he says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That means in Egypt, they slew one lamb for the family. Here, John the Baptist saying that Jesus Christ is that lamb. He will take the sins of the world. Psalm 105 verse 37, when we read, when they came out of Egypt, not a single person was sick and feeble-minded or feeble in body. They were completely healed. How it happened? Because they ate the meat and put the blood sign there. That means there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. We read in Isaiah chapter 53, with his stripes, we are healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he says, with his stripes, we were healed. Now, Isaiah says, we are healed. Jesus Christ didn't die at that time. Isaiah predicting 800 years before Jesus' birth. He says, we are healed. By faith, he was talking. And Peter saying back 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, so we were healed. So now the healing comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ, following the Jesus Christ, obeying the word of God, healing comes. So there is a difference between unsaved people and saved people. From Adam to Joseph, and from Joseph to the children of Israel, we saw how God protected them and kept them healthy. We don't see anywhere Abraham was in the hospital or Moses was in the hospital or they got treatment. No, we saw Moses' sister got leprosy because she went against Moses and against God, but God healed her. Point I'm making, God's children can be healthy, wealthy, and happy and prosperous all the time. That is the will of God. So what God has done, when you read Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He gave them the commandment and a promise together. Please read.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
See what he's saying? You saw how the Egyptian people suffer with a sickness, a disease, plague. But he says, if you listen to me, if you obey me, if you do my commandments, and everything what I say you obey, I will not put any of these diseases what the Pharaoh's people had. And then what he's saying, I am the Lord that healeth thee, or I am the Lord that heals you. So our God is a healer. So the heathen people, when they get sick, they get panicked. They don't have God. So they run to hospital, run here, run there. Christian person supposed to call upon God. The word of God says, call upon me in what? I will answer you. Our God is a prayer answering God. No sickness, no disease can stay in the child of God. Then some people say, why Christian are sick? Why Christian have problem? Why Christian has so many difficulties? If you live according to the word of God, according to these scriptures, no sickness, no disease would come. We read in Psalm 105, verse 37, when they came out of the Egypt, what happened? They were not sick, and they had silver and gold and all the prosperity. So point I'm making here, we have to believe that our God is a great God. Our God is a healer. When we trust in him, no sickness, no disease can come to us. And another promise, read in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25.
And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
When you serve the Lord means not everybody has to be pastor. Serving the Lord means you do his will. Whatever the service you can do to the Lord in the church or house or anywhere, you're doing to the Lord. Even though you're working for factory or company or anywhere, you are not working for them, you are working for God. Those people may be taskmaster and harassing you and giving you a hard time. You have to say, God is watching over me. This is my trials and I'm going to go through. And one of these days, God is going to bless me. He says, he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Great promise, right? No sickness and disease will come to our family or our dwelling. The word of God says, I will bless your bread, I will bless your water. When you take the food in your hand, what you do? Lay hand and pray over it. Say, Lord, bless this food, bless this water, and no harm, no danger could come to me. And once you believe that, God sanctifies the food. That doesn't mean purposely you have to eat the dirty food. We cook the food, if the water is bad, boil the water, get the filter, do best whatever you can. And then you say, Lord, your promise is, you're going to bless my bread, you're going to bless my water, and you're going to take the sickness away among us. So if there is sickness in the family, you have to remind God. Lord, you said this, sometimes you have to remind God. God gave them food from heaven, how many years? 40 years. And the meat, the bird. So they got a meat to eat, and they got a manna to eat. When you read these chapters, you will know there were rules and regulations what to do, what not to do. God told them, you know, you go gather the manna. Don't gather too much. If you gather too much, it will spoil. They didn't listen. They gather more, and what happened? Get worms. So he said, now, Friday, you get it double, and it won't be warm, so it will be enough for Friday and Saturday. But don't go out Saturday. They kept the manna Friday, didn't spoil next day. Other day, it spoiled. But now it didn't spoil for next day. And when they went Sabbath, God was mad at them. Why do not believe? When they gathered so much and they measured it, it was enough for the family. Some person got less, some person got more, but it was sufficient for the family. What God was saying, I am your daily bread. I am going to supply. Don't worry about tomorrow. People are worried about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. We have to say, Lord, thank you for supplying my need. Thank you for giving me food for today. I'm not worrying for tomorrow. People did not trust in God. God supplied the food from heaven, and still they did not believe. So what Jesus Christ was saying, go to John chapter 6 and start reading from verse 31.
Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
See what Jesus Christ was saying? In the wilderness, your forefather ate the manna from heaven. And they died. So he says, I am the bread of life. And somebody says, give us that bread. He said, okay, you want that bread? You have to believe in me. If you believe in me, you will never hunger, you never thirst. Some people say, how come? It's true. So the word of God says, if you believe Jesus Christ, if you follow him, you will never hunger, you never thirst. A few minutes ago we read, he said, he will bless your bread and what? He will bless your water. We don't have problems. Let's read verse 48, John 6, 48 to 51.
I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
See, now still people didn't understand what he was saying. He again repeated. Moses gave the bread. That was not Moses. God gave the manna. But that manna they ate, that was not really heavenly bread. I am the heavenly bread. And so he says, they said, give us that bread. Then he says, I am the bread. And start saying, if you want that bread, then eat my flesh and drink my blood. Say, oh, this is too hard. We cannot understand. And many of his disciples went away. Jesus Christ was trying to say, what is the bread? The word of God. Let's read. 63, same chapter, John 6, 63.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
What he's trying to say? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. If you are led by the Spirit of God, then you will have everything. But if your flesh runs you, how flesh runs, do you know? I want to smoke. I want to drink. I want this food. I want that food. I want to please my body, not my spirit. So, but what he's saying, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. My word has the spirit. My word has power. You remember what Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4? Man shall not live by bread alone. He said, every word comes out of the mouth of God. And if you listen to that word, if you obey that word, and if you do according to the word of God, you will live eternally. That's what Jesus Christ was saying. So he is saying again, When I say eat my flesh and drink my blood, listen to my word. Eat that word, and that word will give you life. And if you read a little bit further, the many disciples said, it's hard, and they walked away. Then Jesus asked the question to his disciple Peter, would you like to go? What Peter says, Luke 68.
Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
So he understood, I cannot leave Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay with Jesus because he has the life eternal. And if I listen to him, I will never die. That's the Christian belief. That's the Christian faith. What Jesus Christ said to Martha and Mary. He says, I am the resurrection and what? I am the life. So once we receive Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about the worldly food and worldly drink. He supplies the needs. We see Jesus Christ is the life giver, and he said, if you believe me, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. Go to the St. John chapter 4, verse 14.
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
There. So what the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is the life giver, he is the eternal bread, he is the eternal water. Even the cross, he was saying, I thirst. Did he drink water? No, they did not give him water. But he was thirsting for what? For you and for me. And he came into this world to win souls for God. Now God is saying to them, you should listen to me. Go to the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6.
Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
See now how much blessing God gave to them. He says you will be special people. I will take care of you if you listen to me. If you study the whole journey of Israeli people, we will be learning a little bit. They disobey many, many, many times. We are talking about healing. People might be thinking, what we learn about healing here? We are learning when we listen to God, God keeps us healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. We go astray from God, God sends enemy to fight with us. An enemy can come from your brother, sister, wife, husband, children, anybody to fight with you. The word of God says our fight is not with flesh and blood. Our fight is with a spiritual force, is the enemy, the devil, Satan. And so we see from the beginning, Cain was cursed, Abel was blessed. From Abel to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to his children, we see blessing. Now we are seeing the time they listened to the word of God, they were blessed. Time they disobeyed God, they were cursed or punished. That's what we are going to learn. And then we are going to learn how God's blessing comes to the believers. Then we know the healings and miracles. This was the fifth one in the series. So next week we are starting sixth, and we don't know how far we are going, but we are going to teach people how the sickness and disease can be defeated and how we can live a victorious life. You have to see the root cause and find and root it out. If you have a faith, God can root it out. If God did not plant the cancer, then God has power to root it out. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, what he says? Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and what? More abundant life. So the abundant life comes from Christ, from Jesus, from God, and the destruction comes from the enemy. Once we disobey God, the disaster, the problem, the trouble, financials, all the troubles start like a hell. Once you start working according to the word of God, even this trouble comes, then you are not alone. That's the difference. Let's pray. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the word of God. We know that our God is alive, and he is a miracle working God. Not only that, you say, I'll bless your bread and I bless your water, and I will take the sickness, the midst of you. So, Lord, we have great promises. We believe that our God is a healer, and you have kept us healthy, and you are going to keep us until you come. We don't have to be afraid, because your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the love, power, and sound mind. So we are not going to be afraid looking at the situation. We are going to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.